Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
The world today is remembering former South African President Nelson Mandela, who died yesterday at the age of 95. People here in Boston are particularly remembering his visit here soon after he was released from prison. WBUR's Dolores Handy reports.
It was electric.
At the time, Margaret Burnham was a Boston-based leader in the Free South Africa, Free Mandela movement. She recounts that day, June 23rd, 1990.
Everyone felt it was historic. We were living that history at that moment. We were sharing space with one of the world's greatest statesmen and peacemakers, perhaps one of the most unique leaders in certainly the 20th century. And here he was. He was in our midst. He was both extraordinary and ordinary at the same time.
Thank you. Thank you. You have filled our hearts with a lot of joy. The warm welcome.
It was just one day in Boston. The stops were brief. But the images were enduring, says Burnham, who was the first African-American woman appointed a judge in Massachusetts. She's now a professor of law at Northeastern University.
He was all that we thought he would be when he left prison. He was full of humanity and grace and wisdom and peace, and as well a very practical politician.
The tour was twofold in purpose. First, to express gratitude to activists who'd supported the struggle against apartheid rule in South Africa. Massachusetts was the first state to withdraw its pension funds from companies that were doing business in South Africa. Longtime state representative Byron Rushing was active in the anti-apartheid movement.
It was the beginning of getting other states and other large investors from ending their investment in businesses that were doing business in South Africa.
The second purpose of Mandela's U.S. tour was all business. Nelson Mandela and other members of the African National Congress, or ANC, had a new task, moving South Africa from white domination to a democratically elected government, Rushing says.
And when you think about all the things that they had to do, you know, they, of course, for years in South Africa, they were banned. It was illegal to print anything that they said. In South Africa, no one ever saw a picture of Mandela in a newspaper. Ever.
They were trying to raise money for certainly the election. You know, these were men who had been in prison for 27, 30 years.
Public relations executive Colette Phillips coordinated Mandela's visit for the Free South Africa movement.
They had a movement that had no significant money, and if you're going to run for office, if you're going to mount a serious campaign, you needed to raise money. And, you know, where better to come? And Boston has a tremendous history.
The ANC's goal was to raise $1 million from each of the cities Mandela visited. But Phillips says Mandela's visit produced an even bigger return for Boston.
The day that Nelson Mandela came to Boston was the day I felt that it was almost like this shattering of a perception that have dogged Boston for years about being this very hostile and unwelcoming city for people of color. Because it was a day that brought together people from every socioeconomic background and ethnicity who really wanted to come and see this international icon that was bigger than life.
From you, there are some of our strongest supporters in our struggle.
Clearly, Boston held a special place in Mandela's heart, says Professor Margaret Burnham.
He said, the example that Boston has been will always be a diamond in South Africa's struggle against apartheid.
Burnham says Boston's connections, nurtured during the anti-apartheid struggle, still thrive here, continuing to build alliances with South Africa. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Dolores Handy.